Now, real people, real opinions, Nighttime Talk.
Ireland's classic hits radio.
Welcome back to Nighttime Talk with myself, AJ Walsh, sitting in for Niall Boylan tonight. Next tonight, I want to talk about the topic of driving under the influence. We received an email from a listener that I actually thought was a joke. I had to verify that they weren't having us on, so I can assure you that this is genuine. Have a listen to this. Hi Niall and team, I'm absolutely fuming and need to get this off my chest. My husband has just had his license taken away for driving under the influence, and I think it's ridiculous. He had 3 pints, just 3, and was simply driving home from the pub. He was in no way over the limit, yet he's now being treated like a criminal. This isn't just an inconvenience, it's going to ruin us. He needs his license for work, and without it, he'll lose his job. How is that fair? How is a hard-working man supposed to provide for his family when the system is so unforgiving? We're facing financial disaster over this, all because of a law that punishes responsible people instead of using common sense. I know I'm not the only one who feels this way. There has to be some room for reason in these laws, or else more families like mine are going to suffer unnecessarily. I'd love to hear what others think. Surely I can't be alone in this frustration. Thank you. Now, what do you think about this? Because I'm pretty shocked that anyone thinks it's okay to drive after having 3 pints. So I want to ask the question, should we have a zero tolerance to driving intoxicated? You get your license taken away and that's it. You're banned from driving. Currently, there's a legal limit for drugs too, but that should also surely be zero tolerance. Any traces and you lose your license. Recently, a man who knocked down and killed his friend while driving under the influence of cocaine was jailed for 18 months. He had 100 milligrams of cocaine in his system, which is twice the legal limit. And he also had 3 previous convictions in Northern Ireland for driving while intoxicated, and he was also convicted of drug driving in 2021. Now, my point of bringing that up is that if the guy had committed previous driving offences, had he been banned previously, it would have saved a life. So let me know what you think. Should there be a zero tolerance, or do you agree with our listener who emailed in and is angry that her husband is being treated like a criminal? Let me know what you think on WhatsApp 087 188 0008. I'm going to go to Jason first. Hi Jason, how are you doing?
Good evening, AJ. How are you?
Yeah, I'm good. What do you think about this?
She's just whinging and moaning because her husband's being caught.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
That's all. I mean, that's all it is. And as for that case you were quoting, unfortunately, people like that, they don't respect the law. So whether he had his license taken off or not, he probably still would have been driving them fellas down.
Yeah. If you're the type of person who's going to drive intoxicated, then you're saying you're probably...
They're going to do it.
Yeah, okay.
They're going to do it regardless. The them type of people don't respect the law. She said her husband's an honest, hard-working man. He's not really, if he's breaking the law like that. Okay, he got caught that night. How many times has he done it?
I mean, if he was just driving home from the pub, it's probably loads of times. You know, that was definitely my impression.
He just got caught that night.
Yeah.
And he had 3 points that night. Okay, he gets away with 3 points that night. Okay, I'll have 4 tomorrow night. But, I mean, the bigger problem, I'm sorry, as a professional driver of nearly 20 years, it's prescription medication.
Really?
Oh, God, yeah. Yeah, yeah. That's a big problem. That's a massive problem. A lot of people are on medication that they shouldn't be anywhere near the wheel of a car. I mean, most bottles will tell you don't operate heavy machines.
Do people realise that it means cars? Because I know a lot of people will read that and think that it means they shouldn't be going out and driving a forklift.
Yeah, or a digger on a building.
Or a digger, yeah.
That means you shouldn't be on the public roads with a vehicle that weighs over 2 ton or a truck that weighs over 40 ton or a van that weighs 3 ton.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just common sense. Well, I mean, we live in a day and age. I mean, there's not many taxis out there and Ubers and blah. There's no excuse for drink driving. None whatsoever.
I definitely think it's a bigger problem in rural areas where there is a lack of taxis. There is a lack of public transport.
Yeah. I live down the country.
Okay.
I'm from Dublin and we're down the country 14 years now. And I can tell you it's a massive problem. I was nearly killed before Christmas week by a drunk driver whilst in work. Yeah, whilst in work, you know, and the poor old man hadn't a clue that he even hit.
Jeez. And he was clearly intoxicated.
The guards were looking for him. They were following me. What happened was a tree fell down in my truck. I was telling Niall about this. I came around the bend and a tree came down on top of me in the truck. Jeez. And I went back to warn other people and I put eye vision just because I was on the back bend. Came around the bend, drove straight through me and through the tree and out the other side.
And he didn't even realise. That's shocking. That's shocking.
Pulled in, and I got out, and somebody went over to him. I said, "The smell of drink up." And he says, "Oh, I think I hit a branch." And he got back into his car. And went, guards came flying around the corner a minute or two later, looking for this car, because they were actually following him. He was on the wrong side of the road now. I've been on the road 30 years. I've met people on the wrong side of the road. I've met people, and you can tell they're on something.
But what I mean, what can we do about people on prescription drugs? Like, prescription drugs aren't going to show up if you were tested at the side of the road. That's just for like class A's, I'd imagine.
No, painkillers do. You have to be very careful with painkillers. There's codeine. Codeine shows up as cocaine.
Okay.
And opiates. Oh, yeah, yeah. I have to be very careful what I take because I drive for a living.
There's
been cases there of people without on painkillers. And I mean, if you codeine in them, codeine is, I think, cocaine or, well, you know, whatever that is, amphetamines or whatever it's called. So, I mean, you shouldn't be driving on them either.
I think maybe is it more about awareness then, you know, awareness of prescription drugs, because it's not something that I've seen like advertised, you know, by the RSA or the guards or anything like that. Mm-hmm. It's generally about alcohol and class A's and cannabis.
Class A drugs, yeah. So there's that many people, because there's that many people on something. I mean, everybody's on a pill for every ill now. I mean, you get an ill now, the doctor just bangs on pills. I mean, there's big money in it. So, I mean, probably the money, I suppose. But yeah, no, I mean, the prescription drugs is a big one. Drink, we've known about for years. I mean, I remember the campaigns. I mean, back in the 80s, my father drove home from the pub. All our fathers did. It was acceptable. And then there was ads for, don't have that fifth pint or something, but it was stupid like that. People are losing their shit. How dare they tell me not to drink and drive? Well, I mean, things have changed since then. I mean, it's not acceptable now.
I mean, the roads are busier. There's more traffic on the roads. It's definitely...
Oh, yeah.
And then people walking along roads, all that sort of thing, pedestrians, the amount of accidents is just ridiculous.
The amount of people going around with complete and utter black on the roads is ridiculous. On scooters and bikes, I mean, our biggest fear in the trucks is we're taking a left-hand turn. You're looking in your mirror, there's nobody there. You go left and before you know it, there's a fellow under your wheel because he's completely in black. But guess whose fault it is?
Yeah.
My fault.
And I do notice that you're driving along and there's somebody even just walking on the path. You don't see them. And you're like, Jesus, there's somebody there. Yeah. Like, I wouldn't have spotted them. But then it's your fault.
Yeah, but you try and drive a big truck like this. I mean, you're so high up with, and especially in the rain, because, I mean, your visibility is taken away. And people are too distracted on the mobiles. I had a girl years ago walking to the side of my truck when I was coming around the bench, was on her mobile. She hit the side of my truck and bounced off it.
Wasn't looking where she was going. What do you think, Jason, is the answer then? If you're saying that if you take away someone's license, they're the type of person that would probably still drive without a license. What is the answer then, Jason?
There is no, because you can advertise all you want, okay? But you're not going to change people's behaviour. The people that's going to, I mean, people will say, yeah, okay, I won't have that one point. Because maybe that might impair me. But if somebody's going to drink and drive, my experience with it is, if somebody's going to drink and drive, they're going to drink and drive no matter what. I mean, they all know the chances. We all know now the chances of being caught are slim to none. I drive the length and breadth of this country. I've been out for 3 days now. I haven't seen one checkpoint on one guard car. And I literally went from Dublin to Cork to Kerry, back to Dublin, and I was back down in Cork today. And
would that make a difference if there was more visibility on the roads, if there was more guards on the roads, there was more traffic
there's
checkpoints?
Loads of speed vans. Speed vans everywhere. But you don't see checkpoints. They're in money spots. Certain times in the morning, like 10 o'clock, there's always checkpoints for certain little villages outside schools. That's it. It's all just box ticking. You know, why not go out in the middle of the night? We all know where the pubs and the clubs are. Look at any car park, they're full.
That is true. That's something I always notice is that you've got the pub car park and it's full. And it's like, what are they doing? Are they drinking water? Are they having a Coke?
Oh, no, not all of them are saying. I'm not saying all of them are drinking. But, I mean, they're not all not drinking.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. From what you're saying, it may make a difference if there was just more checkpoints on the road and if it was more likely that you'd get caught. But then it would have to be a zero tolerance, because then you're still going, look, I've only had 2 pints. I know there's a checkpoint, but I shouldn't be over the limit. But if you have a zero tolerance where it's like, I know that I can't drink at all because I'm bound to come across a checkpoint tonight and then I'm going to get my license taken away.
It's hard to put a zero limit on it. I think for legal reasons, you can't have zero.
Zero, yeah,
I know we're nearly at zero as truck drivers, bus drivers, I think taxi drivers, any professional drivers. We are the lowest. I mean, I couldn't have a pint today.
But should regular drivers be the same as the lowest of the low that you could go, where not absolutely zero, because, you know, that's, yeah.
apparently it's impossible because of certain stuff, bad watches and certain stuff might produce. But yeah, I know it should be low. I mean,
yeah.
8 o'clock in the morning, you'll know the fellas who've had a few drinks the night before, because they're the ones in traffic swaying and they're baiting up the inside, they're in the hard shoulder, they're overtaking erratically. You know, they're the fellas that should want to catch. But like that, the guards are too busy doing other things.
Yeah. Let me go to CJ. CJ, hi, how are you?
Good. I think people shouldn't drink and drive. It's as simple as that, because if you knock someone down, as you said earlier, or sorry, was it Jason? Sometimes you're driving along and a person is dressed in dark clothes,
yeah,
and it's hard to see them. So imagine a few pints. I mean, I just think...
You've no chance then.
Leave the car at home, get a taxi. That's what I think.
But what about, you know, what do you say to the people that are living down in rural areas and they don't have the option of a cab, or they don't have an option of a bus or anything like that? It's all well and good when you're in a city. But people who just like they live on the same road as their pub and they're just going to drive down the road after they've had a couple of pints. What are they meant to do?
Yeah, but you can't have two different laws.
100%.
Just because someone lives out the country, you can't say, well, look, you're living out the country, so therefore you can drink and drive. Like, that's not going to work. That would be a two-tier system, you know. So that isn't an option. Look, people choose where they want to live. And I know it's not ideal. Like, sometimes that's the way it goes. But you can't expect to drink and drive. I mean...
Just because you want to go out
myself,
to the pub.
Like, well, if they want to go out, usually in communities like that, they know people. And you could get, you know, one person as a designated driver. I mean, there are workarounds. You can't just hop in the car and say, I'm going to have 5 pints and, you know, so be it. It's just not going to work.
And what do you, well, we're just talking to Jason there. He is a professional driver. He's in the car all the time. And he says that the biggest issue that he knows about is actually prescription drugs.
Yeah, as far as I know, codeine, it shows up as an opioid.
Opioids.
So like it's a synthetic version. So as far as I know, when the guards breathalyze you, they will pick up on like stuff like sulfadine, codeine, antihistamines. And it's at the discretion of the guard if you're impaired to drive. So if you are, they can actually take you off the road. Now, I'm open to correction, but that's what I've been told.
Because certainly I know antihistamines make you drowsy. You know, they if you take, you know, like something for hay fever or something like that, they can make you really drowsy, really sleepy. But I just don't think I don't think people are aware enough of the dangers of taking prescription drugs and then driving a car.
Yeah, I agree. I think there should be ads on television. There should be more awareness. I take antihistamines, so my doctor tells me to take them at nighttime. So that's what I'm told. I have asked the question... and I've put it to a pharmacist, you know, is this medication okay to drive? And I think it was sulfadine. Now, he said it was. However, if I'm breathalyzed and if that breathalyzer picks up, oh, this is an opioid because codeine is, like even though it's synthetic, then it's at the discretion of the guard if he thinks I'm impaired. You know, so I think there is a sort of a gray area. So I totally agree. Awareness, you know, get the ads out there. So these people know, because some people don't know they're driving. And then if they get pulled, let's say they don't drink and drive and they're on medication. And then the guard is saying, you know, you're fined or you're going to lose like 3 points or your license even taken off you. Well, then, you know. Like, what do you do? So definitely awareness training is...
Yeah, because
is really
what do you do? You didn't know that you shouldn't have been driving when you were taking whatever it was you were taking. But I definitely think having spoken to Jason as well, talking about how he isn't seeing enough checkpoints, he's driving the length and breadth of the country and not seeing any checkpoints. I definitely think if there's more of a presence on the roads, there's more checkpoints, people are less likely to take recreational drugs and drink and drive.
Yeah, well, the guards recruited last year and they're recruiting this year. So they aim to have more guardie on the road. And look, people were retiring, people were leaving, but they are working towards having more guardie. So I think in the future we will see. And if I was in the guards myself, that's one area I would like to be in, is the traffic corps. Because, you know, you have speeding in residential areas, you have drink driving. And I see it most days. I see it. Excessive speeding in speed zones that are 50 kilometres. So, you know, I think the government are working hard to try and increase the police force.
Yeah, and I hope they do, because I definitely think that it's one way at least that we can try and combat this and try and, we're not going to bring it down so it's like absolute zero levels of alcohol, but I think maybe that we should bring it down for regular drivers so that it's at the same level as professional drivers like taxi drivers and stuff like that. Let me just go to the ads. When I come back, I'm going to go to Kelly. Welcome back to Nighttime Talk. Myself, AJ Walsh, filling in for Niall Boylan. We're talking about drink and drug driving, and I've had a message in from somebody saying that everybody is talking about the drivers, but I think pedestrians need to combat the issue by wearing high-vis jackets and armbands. It works both ways. While I do agree with that, people should be making themselves visible. Everybody has to know you have to make yourself visible on the roads. You can go on the RSA website and you can actually get free high-vis jackets, armbands, and you can even get covers for kids' school bags and actually just adults' bags. You can get covers for them as well. So if you're on a bike or if you're walking on the street, do make yourself visible, especially if you're going around on these e-bikes and e-scooters as well. I'm going to go to Kelly now. Kelly, hi, how are you?
Hi, AJ. How are you this evening?
Yeah, I'm not too bad. So you're going to share your story. You're in recovery.
I am. I'm 3.5 years in recovery from alcohol and other substances like sleeping tablets and benzos. Basically, my alcoholism lasted 9 months during COVID, but that was 24/7, 9 months.
Okay.
It was just life caught up with me. I couldn't wear masks anymore, and I turned to a bottle. I had been on sleeping tablets for years, and Valium prescribed by a doctor. But when an alcoholic or an addict is active, there is nothing, absolutely nothing will get in the way of us getting a drink or a drug. Or, you know, so I do think there should be more patrols, and I do think more people should be tested. Like, I drove through so many checkpoints when I was out of my mind on vodka, was what I drank, neat, just to get another bottle, and there was no way I couldn't do it.
Yeah, because you were in the throes of addiction. And how did you get through these checkpoints? Did you just not get checked going through the checkpoints?
I did, but it was COVID, so we were all wearing masks.
Okay.
And when the guard came to the window, they said, "Where are you going?" I just said, "I'm just going into Tesco," and that was fine, off you go.
And I mean, there was more checkpoints, wasn't there, during COVID to sort of check where people were
everywhere.
Going?
Everywhere.
Yeah, yeah.
Everywhere. Yeah, no, I personally believe, like, I've a higher power in my life, and my higher power, because I don't know how I didn't kill somebody. Or
thank
how
God.
I didn't
thank
get
God.
Caught.
Yeah, thank God.
Thank God. Know. Oh, I thank God every single day.
Yeah.
But, you know, my own brother, it's nearly 20 years ago now. It was December in 2005. He died drink driving in a crash. Now, luckily, he took nobody with him. It was a single car collision. And I didn't actually pick up a drink until I was in my early 40s.
Because of that, or...?
No, I just never, I tried drinking as a teenager, but every drink I took, I had to get sick. So it didn't suit me that way. Like my body rejected it. And in my 40s, I started just having a few spritzers and they went down fine. And I drank normally for 3 years, you know, just on social occasions. And then it was a case of myself and my husband might have a drink on a Friday night, but never a Saturday night. Most alcoholics and addicts have trauma, childhood trauma. Like I was through a very violent alcoholic, disturbed home, came from that, moved on to my mother picking up the gauntlet, you know, when my father left. So there was an awful lot of trauma that I hadn't dealt with.
And then that
in my life
sort of hit you later on in life. And then that's when you really turned to the booze.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like I just couldn't sleep was my escape, and sleeping tablets weren't working anymore. One night I decided to take a swig of the vodka to see if it would kick them in, and it did, and I slept. And 2 days later, I actually rang my GP and I said, "I'm in trouble, I'm not putting this down." And it took 9 months to get help. But when I tell you, if I was out of drink, there was neither man nor beast nor nobody
would stop me
getting into my car. Yeah, nobody.
So, I mean, that's scary. And it must be scary for you to, well, you've just said it is, you thank God every day that you didn't.
Every single day.
Yeah. I mean, that's a scary thought. So, I mean, what would your message be to someone who's going to get in the car, who's maybe not even an alcoholic, but they're like, oh, it's grand. I'll just get in. I've only had a few pints.
Look, I've seen the devastation of a death. I lived through it. It was one of the worst times of my life. I lost my best friend. Now, he was drinking. Didn't hit anyone, but he went into a wall and killed himself straight away.
Gosh.
I would say
so that's
just
a loss
don't
of,
take the
a
chance.
Lot of loss to drink driving.
Yeah, yeah. You know, and I would just say to people, please don't. Alcoholics and addicts, I'm afraid nothing will stop. Nothing can stop an alcoholic when that craving, it's not a craving, it's a compulsion. You have to have the drink. There is no other thought
so
goes through
no,
your head.
There's no amount of awareness campaigns or checkpoints that's going to stop an addict from getting in the car,
no.
from getting behind the wheel
no.
when they're inebriated.
Absolutely no way. When you're out or when you're running low, panic sets in and you go into a massive anxiety and the only thought in your head is getting that next drink, getting that next drug. You have to have the supply at hand. Just in case, you have to have that extra. And I did. I got into the car, and many a time I was out of my tree driving into Tesco, but as soon as that bottle was in my hand, I'd be out in the car in the car park, and I'd have to take a swig of that bottle.
You couldn't even make it home without...
even make it home without having... So, like, there is no incentive. Like, there's nothing can be done to stop an alcoholic or an addict getting into the car when that compulsion overtakes them. And the only thing is, if there were more checkpoints.
And actually, the checkpoints actually worked and caught them and tested everybody at the checkpoint.
And
I mean, that's chilling.
If it turns out like they've checked somebody and they're alcoholic or they're an addict, offer them help. Do you know, like...
And I suppose there's a difference between how someone would present themselves, someone who's just drunk from the pub or someone who is actually an alcoholic. And I suppose that's something that the guards could recognise. It could be, you know...
Straight away.
Yeah, yeah. So in that case, it should be help. But also, it should be, you're not allowed to take your car. Your car is taken away. Your licence is taken away.
Oh, normally, yeah, that does happen. If you're caught drink driving, you lose your licence for 2 years. Up to 6 years. I know somebody who's lost their license for 6 years.
Yeah.
You know, and luckily the people I know, we're all in recovery now and in good recovery, you know, which couldn't be done without rooms like AA and NA and GA and all that kind of stuff, you know.
Yeah.
But the help isn't there for people either. It's very hard. I was lucky I had health insurance. I could ring up Tabor Lodge and say, look, I need to come in, I need to do this.
So not everybody has the option to be able to go. Did you go into a rehab centre? Like, did you actually stay?
I did. I went in for 28 days. And it was brilliant, actually, at the time, because it was COVID. It was very small numbers. There was no family visits. It was all on Zoom and stuff. But I spent 28 days dealing with myself and my issues.
And that's what you needed to be able to kickstart your recovery. You needed that 28
days. That's exactly what I needed.
And if people can't access that sort of support and they don't have where they can go and isolate and get the treatment that they need, well, then it's not going to help them. So, I mean, maybe we need to look at our relationship with alcohol. We need to look at, you know, funding for recovery from alcoholism. Let me just go back to Jason
100%.
Quickly. Jason, have you heard Kelly there? She's just saying, you can't stop an alcoholic getting behind the wheel.
No, you can't, unfortunately. I know what that's like. I was in her position a long, long, long time ago. Thank God I never had a reaction, thank God. But, I mean, as I said, when you know you're not going to get caught, you're going to take the chance. And unfortunately, in 30 years of being breathalyzed twice, and I drive for a living at night, which is one of the worst times.
Yeah.
Like, I've always worked nights. I worked on papers, I've delivered papers. Everything that you think of at night time, I've done.
Yeah, and you've been breathalyzed twice. That's not a lot,
Twice in 30 years.
Madness, yeah.
Yeah, but there you go.
I'm driving 30 years and I've never been breathalyzed.
There you go. You know, So when you know you're not going to get a chance, and when you're in a difficult position like that lady was in, I mean, my heart goes out to her. That's what you're going to do, because she knew the chances of her getting caught.
Jason, it doesn't even matter. It doesn't. That thought does not come into your head.
I know. Trust me, I know.
Just get the drink.
Shit
if the guards stop. It's not there at all. There's no awareness. And you're in recovery, obviously, yourself.
All I was a long time ago. I'm a long time now. So I'm a long time on the straight now.
Well, you're still in recovery.
14 years now. That's the way it is. You know, I mean, there's no deterrent out there. As for education, we're not stupid. You can educate people all you want. If people want to drink and drive, they're going to. There's not enough checkpoints. And they're not at the right times. I mean, you breathalyze people at 11 o'clock in the morning. I just see the things coming up on my WhatsApp. Checkpoint out such and such. Breathalyze them. At 11 o'clock in the morning.
Trying to catch the fellas who were out for 3 or 4 pints the night before.
Yeah. You know.
Money.
Yeah, I could tell you, I could spend all night telling you stories, but I've seen it. But there you go. No challenge, unfortunately. Listen, I have to go because I'm just about to go onto the boats over here. So,
okay, Jason, thank you so much, Jason. You take care.
Not at all, love. God bless.
Take care. Thank you. I'm going to go to Sean next. Sean, hi, how are you?
How you doing, AJ? How are you?
Not too bad. You're saying zero tolerance, definitely.
Well, zero tolerance, definitely. I must be listening to your last caller there. Our own brother was killed through drink driving. Was that not enough of a deterrent for her?
But you heard what she said when you're in the throes of addiction.
I don't care what she... Yeah. Absolutely stupidness, what I heard. Absolutely stupidness.
You hear all the time, Sean, about...
If that wasn't enough for her...
You hear all the time about what people do when they're in the throes of addiction, and it's not them. It's the addiction. It just completely takes over, and neither love nor money is going to stop them.
So here's my limelight on this one. I'm a professional driver myself. I tell you what you do with these people. You lock them up. That's it. It's as simple as that.
They've not been caught.
You lock up a mother of four children.
I lock you up. I will lock you up.
Sean.
I will lock you up to keep people safe on the roads. Hold on for a minute, AJ. I will lock you up to keep people that are not drink driving and are going against their daily business to get from A to B, to go with their families to do what they, you know, see you and your addiction. You deal with that addiction yourself. You know quite well what you're going to do.
You can get people to go.
Hold on. Excuse me. Am I? Hold on for a minute.
Yeah, you are.
It's not anybody here. It's not anybody else. You're an alcoholic, okay? It's nobody else's fault.
Sean, let Kelly come back.
It's nobody else's fault.
Sean, you've made your point.
Come in and tell you something. Don't you come on live on here and tell me that you're going to tell me and tell everybody else live on here that you're just going to keep doing it and doing it and doing it. There's no checkpoints and there's no this and there's no
she
that.
She never said that,
you know
that,
quite
Sean.
Well
Sean,
what you're doing is
she
wrong.
She never said that. She
no,
never
hold
said
on
that.
For a minute.
She
AJ.
Never said that, though, Sean.
She said that she knows she's doing wrong.
But she did it before and she regrets
everybody that takes a drink. Excuse me. Everybody knows,
Sean,
that they shouldn't drink and drive.
Yeah, 100%. 100%. But when you have no idea of addiction, so it's very hard for you. You're not going to understand.
It's not
going to
happen here. I'm not giving you any sympathy tonight. I will lock you.
I'm not looking for anybody's sympathy.
If I was a judge, I would lock you up.
I am a strong woman who went into recovery of my own volition because I knew I did not want to live that life. Don't you dare come on here and judge me.
Oh, I will.
Live in glass houses.
You already said it, that your own brother died from drink driving and that you were glad that you didn't take anybody out and that you done it yourself. The fact of the matter is that you know quite well drink driving is against the rules and regulations of this country, and nobody should be drink driving in this country. Nobody. Zero tolerance.
They shouldn't.
Yes.
Sean.
They should be zero tolerance.
So what do you think you should be treated differently than anybody else?
Can you stop for a second?
I think
Kelly's been very brave to come on and tell her story, and she's admitted to what she's done wrong. She's in recovery, and I just don't think that she needs quite the
aggression.
The
fact of the matter is, what I'm saying, AJ, is... I'm not, no, but the fact of the matter is people are looking for sympathy For the fact of the matter is that they said, oh, well, it's this, it's that, it's the other. We've all done it. This, that, you're...
Did I ask for sympathy? Did I ask for
sympathy? I never said you did.
You just said people come on here and ask for sympathy. I'm not looking for sympathy. I'm telling you.
You knew your June was wrong. And the fact of the matter is, how it's going to stop people is locking people up. And that's what my point is tonight, Kelly.
When you're in the throes of addiction, there is nothing in this world can stop you. Nothing.
It will. I locked you up.
I went to churches, I prayed,
Kelly,
I cried.
Kelly, it doesn't matter where you go,
Sean,
Kelly.
You don't
locking,
have a clue.
The likes of you, Kelly, need to be locked up.
I locked myself up.
No, not you.
Got my life straightened out.
Kelly, what I'm saying is, the judicial system has to lock you up. Because you just already explained to the public that's out there. Thousands of listeners listening to you. My point is, AJ, right, let's say, AJ, I'm going to go back to you, okay? Because we're going to be going swings and roundabouts all night. AJ, my point is tonight, anyway, the laws are too lenient on drink drivers and drug drivers, okay? Now,
I
want to
clear
up very, very quickly. Sorry, love.
I do agree with you there, Sean. Sorry, I'm just agreeing with you.
I just want to clear something up very, very quickly. What I think it was Jason said earlier on. If you're on tablets that you can drive on tablets, you're going to be given that from the doctor. And you're going to get a cert from the doctor to say that you're going to be driving. If you're not on tablets and you're not certified, and if somebody gives them to you, a friend, a relative, or anybody else, and you're caught on them tablets,
mine
you will be put
prescribed
off the road. Excuse me. Yeah, but that's all right. Then you're sorted. Once you have that,
you shouldn't be allowed to drive it, though. You shouldn't be. They're giving out too freely.
I'm talking about certain tablets, Kelly. I'm not talking about all tablets. But what I'm saying is, I'm just trying to clear a few things up here.
Sleeping tablets.
I'm talking about tablets that were given. If it's given to a doctor, if you're allowed to drive on certain tablets.
Yeah.
Because I've been on certain tablets because I suffered terrible with back then. So I've got certain tablets in my life and I was allowed to drive with them because, again, I'm a professional driver. Now, I just want to clear another thing up. If we take a drink tonight, Kelly and AJ, I know I'm doing wrong. And if I get into that car tonight, I know I'm doing wrong and I'm putting the public at safety, I just want to explain something.
I wouldn't get behind the wheel with anybody who has a drink in them.
Well, thank God you won't go anymore, Kelly.
No, I would never. No, and I'm going on a daily basis. I have a reprieve and nobody has to believe in a higher power. I'm glad you don't. And my children won't because they've seen the lesson. I have sat them down and I have told them and we have spoken about it. And my children won't get into a car with anyone drinking them or if they've had drink the night before, they won't drive.
Absolutely.
Stay with me there, guys. I just have to go to a quick... Welcome back to Nighttime Talk. I'm going to go to Jake. We are talking about zero tolerance when it comes to a drink and drug driving. Hi, Jake. How are you?
Hi, AJ. How's it going?
Not too bad. So what do you think? Do you think that we should have more checkpoints? Do you think that there should be harsher penalties for if you're caught drunk or drug driving? Sorry, stuttering.
That's fine. No, 100%. No, the consequences are definitely very lenient in this country. And like obviously, I've listened to what Kelly. I'm sorry, I'm after forgetting the other fella's name. I've listened to what the two of them have been saying. Obviously, I understand the aspect of addiction. My own father was an alcoholic as well. Now, we were lucky in the sense where, regardless of how drunk, he would have never got in drink driving. I've only recently heard a thing that with a lot of American companies with professional drivers, they have built-in breathalyzers in the car,
I've heard of this.
And the engine won't start unless you pass the breathalyzer. honestly, I think that should be standard issue in every vehicle that's produced. I think that's something that could possibly help the narrowing down of it. If you are not in a suitable pass rate of a breathalyzer, you shouldn't be able to start your car.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense. I've heard of people talking about this before. And yeah, I don't see why it wouldn't be standard issue in cars. It can't be that expensive.
I don't see it being terribly expensive to make them.
Yeah, yeah.
It shouldn't affect the price really whatsoever. But like, what's an extra 15, 20 seconds in your morning before you head off to work?
Yeah.
Or before you go out and do your shopping or whatever it is? It's something as simple as that could be a massive lifesaver for a lot of people. Pedestrians,
especially
or drivers,
for
or
if you're not sure rookies. That you're over the limit or whatever. But I mean, do you think that the limit should be brought down to a lower level so you can't drink as much as you can now and be able to drive?
I don't look. Regardless, once you've touched the sip of alcohol, I don't really think that you should consider jumping in the seat of the car. Like, do you know what I mean?
100%. Like, yeah.
It's something where. Me, myself, I'm not a massive drinker either. Now, I drive more or less for a hobby. I love driving. It's my getaway. I've never considered the idea of drinking and driving. It's never been my thing. Now, I am one of these people, I know mentioned earlier on, where it's like you drive past the pub, you see a load of cars parked in, stuff like that. I am one of the people who is guilty of driving to the pub because I'm too lazy to walk down. But I've never had the idea of getting in the car and driving home.
So what would you do? Get a taxi or
I'd go to a taxi rank or I'd get a lift home of someone who isn't drinking or something. Now, that's obviously down to myself, and that's something I've always felt strong on. Because driving's my getaway, I don't want to be one of these people who's stupid enough to risk losing my license over. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And as well as that, I appreciate the safety of other people as well. Like, if anyone is some way inebriated, whether it's prescription, whether it's self-diagnosis of sorts, there's no reason whatsoever for anyone under any form of influence to even consider starting a car.
But what about people that are on prescription medication and they have to drive, but they're on a prescription medication that they have to take? I don't know what the answer is there.
I understand there's a lot of prescription medication that can alter, but there is alternatives. Like I am on prescription medication, and the one they initially wanted to prescribe to me would have impaired my driving.
Mm-hmm.
And I asked, was there anything that I could take similar effects that would not inhibit my driving? And
there was an alternative.
We researched, and there was alternatives. Now, on top of that as well, it was a little bit more difficult in the sense where it's like I suffer with some other mental disabilities and stuff like that. I suffer with ADHD, and I found that a lot of the stuff could have tampered with that too, which I needed to kind of look at that as well. So it was kind of difficult to find a
bit of a minefield there, Jake. Yeah, it sounds like it.
Yeah, exactly. And luckily enough, we were able to find something that didn't inebriate my driving, didn't conflict with that either. So it worked out well for me. Now,
well, Jake, you sound very sensible. You're saying, you know, you were being given medication. You made sure that the medication that you were given wasn't going to inhibit your ability to be able to drive. You say that you drive to the pub and you will have a couple of drinks, but you'll always make sure that you have another way of getting home. I mean, that sounds very sensible, and that sounds like what everybody should be doing. But I just think that the issue is that people aren't doing it. People are taking drugs and they're driving their car. People are drinking and they're driving their car. And I'm not talking about someone who's an addict, and they're people who should be getting help rather than, you know, just losing their license and going to jail and all that jazz. They should get help. But at the end of the day, something more does need to be done to stop the amount of drink and drug driving on our roads, because it's causing accidents and people are losing their lives.
Well, a problem I have as of recently, all this stuff about speed limits dropping and stuff like that, I get it, right? But there's a lot of roads where it doesn't need to be terribly worried about. I know at the moment it's only on L roads and
Local councils can also they can change the speed limits. They have the right to change the speed limits on roads that don't need necessarily a lower speed limit.
Yeah, exactly. Where I'm living at the moment is there's a bypass road around my town, and the speed limit on it really at the moment is 60. Now, it's a little bit ridiculous because it's more or less a dual carriageway. It should be up around 80, lowest, in my opinion. But very rarely is there anyone checking these limits. But the guards now are focusing on all these 80s to 60s and stuff like that on roads where you can't realistically be getting up to 80 anyway, unless it's a road you're very, very familiar with.
Yeah.
But on top of that as well, why aren't they looking more so into going onto the proper roads where there's accidents, having the checkpoints, having the breathalyzers? It's just, there's... Now, I also heard that two of the listeners there driving 30 years never been breathalyzed. Where I am, and I count myself lucky in this sense, where I am last week, I was breathalyzed twice in 1 week.
I've never been breathalyzed, Jake, though, either, and I've been driving for donkey's years. I've never been breathalyzed. I don't drive an awful lot, no, but I've never been breathalyzed.
I don't know if the guards see it as like, oh, he's young, he's reckless, he's a bit of a dope, he's probably drinking. Like, I'm only 25 now, and it's... I don't know if they look at me and think, right, he might be under the influence of something, or it's just the sake of meeting quotas. Now, I've been pulled at plenty of checkpoints where they're just like, right, his window's grand, off he goes.
Mm.
And I've been at plenty where I've just been waved through. But I'd say, like, I'm driving 5 years now, and I'd say I've been breathalyzed 3 times total, and 2 of them were last week.
I definitely think it's because you're young then, Jake. I definitely think, because no one else that I've spoken to now tonight has said that they've been breathalyzed. Maybe you're targeted more.
I think it's some young, irresponsible gobshites, you know what I mean?
And actually, you sound very responsible, Jake, I must say. Thank you so much for that, Jake. I'm going to have to let you go because I've only got a couple of minutes before I go to the ads, but thank you so much for your input tonight, Jake. I appreciate your time. I'm just going to go back to you, Sean. Sean, have you been listening to Jake there? I've just got a couple of minutes now. 2 minutes,
I just wanted... Well, I want to give you my 2 points worth on this, AJ, and we got caught up earlier on with Kelly there, and I wish her all the best. But the fact of the matter is, you know, the way I see this, AJ, and again, as a professional driver, it's got to be tougher penalties. It's got to be tougher sentences for people that think that they can just go out and drink and, you know, just drive. You know, it's just horrific what people are doing.
Yeah.
I did catch out, you know, I wanted to talk to AJ there, but he's gone.
Jake.
He said, lucky enough. Did you hear what he said? Lucky enough, I was only breathalyzed twice, he says. Lucky enough. So, you know, he's just admitting there that he was probably over the limit. You know when you're over the limit. You know not to drink and drive. And you know what annoys me, AJ? And I want to say this to all the listeners out there. Yes, hungry, hungry bastards. Get a cab home. Get a cab out and get a cab home. What's going to cost? €20 out and €20 back? Are you going to really risk his license, you know, for a night out? You know, I can't understand it, AJ, for the life of me. I could never understand it. And a friend of mine only lost his license there about 2 months ago. You know, he was up in front of the judge. He's gone for 2 years. You know, and I said it though. I said, you hungry fucker, you. I said, you wouldn't get a taxi out, you know, and you bring the car. And he was always bringing the car, and I couldn't understand it, you know. And all the friends were getting into the car, and they were going home with him, and I could never get my head around it, you know. They're just as guilty, getting into a drunk driver's car, going home with them. And then I'm wondering why they're all dead on the side of the road. They're just as guilty as well, getting into a drunk driver's car. It should never be done. You should never, ever drink and drug drive. End of.
Agreed, Sean. Thank you so much for that. Thanks for your time tonight. And then I've just got literally 1 minute, Kelly. Sorry about this, that I have to go to the news.
No,
thank you so much and for coming on and sharing your story.
You know, the one thing that I actually think the government should be doing is there should be an educational program in all secondary schools.
It's crazy that there's not. I think there is. Absolutely things coming in now,
crazy.
But it's been years that people have been saying that. Like, surely we should be teaching kids, because you're only just out of school when you start to learn how to drive. And I just think it's very important to get into
the schools.
As
they're learning to drive, they don't know what they want for breakfast.
Exactly.
You know, and I'd just like to say thank you for letting me get my piece across, but it's just... It's a horrible disease.
Thank you for sharing the story, and I wish you all the best with your continued recovery journey.
Thank you very much, AJ, and thanks for the call.
Thank you so much, Kelly.
Now, real people, real opinions, Nighttime Talk.
Ireland's classic hits radio.